to us, please. Amen.
Thank you, preacher. Well, it's good to be in church tonight. Amen. And Lyndall, what a blessing. And your dad is one of my many heroes. And I know right now he'd be proud. Amen. What a blessing. And just bless my heart to see you serving the Lord and see you, just to see you using your talents for the Lord. Amen. And that's what God desires that all of us do. Amen. Well, take your Bibles tonight. Find with me the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah is where we're going to begin tonight. Nehemiah chapter number 8 is where we'll begin. And we're going to be jumping around in the Bible using several different passages of Scripture. This evening, it is a joy to be back where we consider to be home. We consider Landmark to be our home church. Dr. Carter's my pastor, our pastor, and I'm proud of that. I'm not ashamed of it. And I'm thankful for it. Amen. And good to be amongst friends and be in Lord's house. I'll tell you what I've been doing on Wednesday nights back home. This pandemic mess has really made a mess of just about everything. And you know, there's enough bad news in the newspapers, on social media, and on the news channels. And I've just decided it's real easy for me as a preacher and as a pastor to get up and just talk about the bad news and preach against all of it. And but if I'm not careful, I found out instead of encouraging people, instead of building people up, instead of helping them to make it through another week and serve the Lord, we got to sometimes put that aside and try to be an encouragement. And so tonight, as a pastor, not your pastor, but as a pastor, I want to try to do that same thing here this evening, try to be a blessing to you and a help to you. We're going to look at one verse tonight as springboard to jump into the thought for this evening, and then we'll pray and we'll get into the message. I want you to find your place in Nehemiah chapter number 8. We're going to read verse number 10 for now. We're going to come back as we go through the message, and we're going to read the beginning of the chapter as well. But Nehemiah chapter number 8, verse number 10, the Bible says, "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet." Now, I'm not preaching on that, but listen, on a Wednesday night, y'all look like I want to be kind, but you look, I mean, there's more frowns than there are smiles, amen. And as Baptists, preacher talked about putting that Baptist bird in the ministry. You should have said amen right there when he said that. And as a Baptist, if you can't smile and rejoice and just enjoy the fact that God said there in his word that go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, I think that's every Baptist person's dream, amen. And I'm not preaching on that, but I got some of you to smile, amen. Maybe the only time you smile tonight. But let's go on and read. The Bible says, "And send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And that's what I want to preach on for a little while tonight. I just want to preach a little bit on the Christian having joy. Amen. The Christian having joy. Let us pray, and we'll jump right into the message. Father, we love you. And God, how we thank you for loving us and Lord being so good to us. God, thank you for the opportunity that you give us, dear God. Number one, salvation. Lord, thank you that you care enough about us, that you've provided salvation's plan for us. And Lord, we're so unworthy and undeserving of it, but God, we're thankful. Lord, we thank you that after we get saved, you desire to use us. And Lord, what a blessing that is. And then all the blessings you bestow upon us day by day. And Lord, even though many times we neglect to say thank you, dear God, I ask you to forgive us for that. And Lord, for the next little while tonight, I pray that you'd help us. Maybe there's some folks that came into church tonight just they feel beat up from the world, beat up from being out at work through this week, and just the cares of life and the burdens that they're carrying, dear God. I pray that for the next little while this evening, Lord, that God, that you'd restore unto us that joy that you desire us to have, dear God. And Lord, remind us, Lord, that we do have something, Lord, that's worth rejoicing over, dear God. And so, Lord, I pray that tonight you'd speak to us. I pray that you'd help us. I pray that you'd use me, fill me with your power, dear God. And Lord, help me to say everything you'd have me to say and keep back that which would dishonor you. And Lord, I pray that you would just bless in a special way here tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. One thing I find strangely missing amongst many Christians, especially in 2020, in the midst of this pandemic, amen, is joy. And I mean, the world is in a mess, and America's in a mess. And you go to the grocery store, and I mean, this pandemic has just soured everybody's attitudes and their spirits, and people are act crazy. Amen. You up home, you go down, they act like you need directions to go in Walmarts, and they got arrows telling you which way you're supposed to go. And next thing you know, I'm thinking this thing goes on. And Biden gets in, they may implant us with turn signals, amen. And who knows, amen, as crazy as it is. But I mean, you go the wrong way down an aisle and they look at you like you've committed the worst crime in the world. And you reach out to shake somebody's hand you ain't seen in a long time, and you're fine with it, they're fine with it. But people around look at you like you're going to kill the whole community and shaking hands. And then up home, we go in different places. We're in building projects this year at church. And the Lord's blessing, and I go into the parts places and different things to get the materials we need, and the managers all come out and start talking. Y'all back to having church now, huh? And I tell them, no, we're not back. We never stopped, amen. We're just continuing. And they look at you like you're plumb nuts, like you're crazy, like you're going to kill the congregation. And it's just sad. And the thing is, a lot of these folks are Christians. I've talked to pastors like that, pastors that are just amazed that you're having Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and you're teaching Sunday school, and you're trying to visit and things. I just believe that the devil is using this to literally pull the plug on Christians, to drain every bit of joy that God desires that we have. Amen. Now I think about this. I think about, listen, it's not just the world, and it's not just this pandemic and thing as such as that. But listen, sometimes our sinfulness, if we're not careful, that sin in our life will steal away our joy, and our situations will rob us of the joy that the Lord wants us to have. But I want to remind you tonight that as believers, listen, when we come to the house of God, I don't know about you, but I've been looking forward to coming to church since about Sunday night. I mean, when church was over on Sunday, I love Sunday night. That's my favorite service of the week. I love it. And when it's over, I'm already looking forward to Wednesday night. And all day today, I was looking forward to being in God's house on Wednesday night and excited about it, looking forward to it. But it breaks my heart as a child of God to see so many believers coming to the house of God instead of coming looking to get a blessing, instead of coming looking to get their cup filled up and looking for help to get through the rest of the week. It's almost like the majority of Christians in 2020 come to church and just endure it. Just endure it. You say, how do we know that? The way that we look a lot on our face. Amen. I mean, sadly, there's a lot of Christians in the world today, in America today, that got more excited about the presidential fiasco last night than they did about coming to God's house tonight. Say amen. You know I'm right. It's terrible, amen. Listen, we ought to be, as God's people, we ought to be enjoying the Lord. We ought to be enjoying the book that God's given us. We ought to be able to, I know this is going to catch some of you off guard, but listen, you ought to be able to enjoy the brethren. Amen. Enjoy the fellowship with the brethren. We ought to be able to enjoy, listen, the church. And we ought to be able to enjoy when the offering plate is passed. And we ought to be able to enjoy when the preaching goes forth. Listen, I'm just simply saying this, that we ought to be enjoying the Christian life. I'm concerned that, listen, far too many are losing their freshness, listen, of their salvation, and losing the joy of that first love, the Lord Jesus Christ, and losing their excitement. Excitement and service. Can I say this? As a church, man, when Brother Barry's giving out the announcements, I'm sorry, Brother Parsons giving out the announcements, amen, about the campaign, I mean, y'all ought to be excited about it. Amen. I mean, there's churches in the country tonight that can't even have church in their building, much less have a fall program.
I mean, there's churches that love just to get one visitor, and here you've got an opportunity to go and evangelize the majority of Polk County. Amen. You say, but preacher, there's a pandemic, and everybody's gone crazy, and everything is shut down, and everything's just gotten really, really weird. Yeah, but listen, God's still on his throne. Amen. And he's not done with us. You say, but preacher, things are bad. Yeah, but listen, look up. It's going to get better. Look up. Now, listen, a lot of times as preachers, we're real good about getting on to the church about, listen, everything that's wrong. This is wrong. You're not happy. You're not smiling. You don't have joy. And you're not enjoying church. And you're not enduring church. And enduring church. Sometimes we fail to give you, listen, the helps you need to be able to do the things we're preaching against. And so tonight, I want to give you seven things. You say seven, that's God's number of completion. So I figure when we get done with seven of them, we'll be done with church tonight. Well, I'll move quick though, all right? I'm aware that there's work and there's school and there's all those things. But I want to ask this question. Maybe you're wondering tonight, well, preacher, in the midst of all this, where is a Christian supposed to find joy? I mean, the economy's collapsed. We're in election year. And the pandemic and sickness and people are losing jobs. How are we supposed to find joy? Well, I want you to take your Bible tonight. Hold your place in Nehemiah because we're going to come back to it. And find me the book of Luke, chapter number 10. The book of Luke in chapter number 10. I want to give you seven areas in the Christian life where we can get joy. Amen. Where we ought to have joy. Luke chapter number 10 tonight. Luke chapter number 10. And I want to begin reading in verse number 17. Luke chapter number 10, verse number 17. Everybody all right? Amen. Smile every now and then, amen, so I know that, you know, you're enjoying it a little bit. You can, I mean, lie if you have to, amen, but smile. Luke chapter number 10, verse number 17, the Bible says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, isn't that something? They returned with joy. They returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fallen from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now notice verse 20. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. Now, isn't that something? Jesus just telling the disciples, he's telling the 70, listen, about the power that he's given to them. Could you imagine being one of those disciples in the early ministry of Jesus Christ, in the earthly ministry? I mean, when he gives them power to go and do the work that he's called them to do, and here they are, they're eyewitnesses, and they're seeing God work through them. I don't know about you, but I think I'd be full of joy too. But Jesus makes an unusual statement in verse number 20. He says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. He said, don't rejoice in all those things. That's not what you ought to be rejoicing in. He says, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. Number one, Christian, hey, if you're saved, hey, one place you ought to be finding joy is in the fact that your name is recorded in heaven. Amen. That's what Jesus said. Now listen, I love being used of God. I love seeing God work, and I love seeing God move, and I love seeing praying and seeing miracles and seeing answers to prayer. But I'll be honest with you, it don't happen every day. What I mean by that, listen, we so often as human beings, we're looking for the major things, and we miss out on the simple things that God is doing in a mighty way. But understand this, even when it appears nothing is going right, when it appears that, listen, our prayers aren't being answered, when it appears that our visitors aren't coming to church, when it appears that the other team is winning the campaign, when it appears that you may be losing your job, when it appears that, listen, hey, everything is falling apart in life, God said, rejoice in this. Rejoice in the fact that your name is recorded in heaven. Amen. Hey, if you're saved, you got reason to rejoice tonight. Now think about this. If you're a Christian tonight and you come and you say, well, I just feel like I've lost the joy of the Lord. Preacher, what has happened? Well, let me ask you this. Is there sin in your life? Because if there's sin in your life, sin will rob the joy out of your life. Sin will drain the joy that Jesus intends on us having. And if we have sin in our life, here's what we need to do. We need to find our way to an old-fashioned altar, even on a Wednesday night, and we need to get that sin right between us and God and say, Lord, be merciful to me. God, forgive me. We need to turn from that sin, leave it there at the altar, and go do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, you make that sound easy. Well, I'll remind you about David. David had committed atrocious sins as king. David had had Uriah killed, listen, in order to cover up the sin that he'd committed with Uriah's wife. And Uriah, Uriah's wife has the baby, and the baby dies, and David is in a mess, amen. And so we got Psalm number 51. In Psalm number 51, David gets right with God. And in Psalm 51, in verse number 12, here's what David cries out unto the Lord. He says, restore unto me. Notice the wording. He said, the joy of thy salvation. The joy of thy salvation. I submit to you tonight, listen, if there's sin in your life that's unconfessed, you can't live in joy as a Christian. As a child of God, you'll never have joy when you're living in sin. Oh, the devil will lie to you. He'll make you think that it's fun. By the way, there when Moses was down in Egypt, he could have chosen to endure the pleasure, to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. What's that tell us? That tells us, oh yeah, there may be pleasure in sin, but if you're saved, you'll never enjoy it. Amen. Why? Because we got the Holy Ghost of God who convicts us. I'm just simply saying, Christian, friend, if you're saved tonight, listen, the Christian can find joy in their salvation. Let me give you a second one. A Christian joy is not only found in salvation, but Christian joy is found in the person of our salvation. Christian joy is found in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would, find with me the book of 1 Peter, 1 Peter in chapter number 1. Turn there with me if you will. Now listen, my intention tonight isn't to beat nobody up. I want to help you, amen. I want to help you. The devil's, he's real good at beating us up, amen. But listen, you don't have to go through life with your jaw dragging the ground and being all sorrow and miserable. And listen, you can have the joy of the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter number 1, look with me if you will, in verse number 6. The Bible says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, notice that word season, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Verse number 8, whom? Who's Peter writing about? Well, he's writing about Jesus Christ. And notice what verse 8 says. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, ye believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hey, friend, if you're saved tonight, you can find joy in the person of your salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, but preacher, I'm going through trials, and preacher, I'm going through troubles, and preacher, it just seems like it's one battle after the next battle. Well, notice what God says in this passage. He says there, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Understand that your trial's only going to last a little while. Your tribulation's not going to last forever. The hard time that you're going through, listen, it is not eternal. It is temporal. The Bible says there, listen, if need be, that's interesting, that God knows what we need. Listen, even if it be a test, even if it be a trial, even if it be trouble in our life, God knows what we need. He says, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believe and you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Preacher, you're making it sound like I ought to rejoice when everything's falling to pieces. You make it sound like, listen, I ought to have joy in my heart when the finances aren't what I think they ought to be. Preacher, you act like I ought to have joy in my heart when there's sickness in the home. You act like I ought to have joy in my heart when really it's all full of sorrow. Friend, that's exactly what the Bible says. The Bible says we ought to have joy. The Bible says rejoice with joy. Why? We're not can I back up for a minute? You know what the problem with a lot of us is? Our problem a lot of time is we look at happiness and we mistake happiness for joy. Amen. Say amen. I mean, when there's plenty of money in the bank, you smile and you're happy. When the husband gives the wife the credit card or the money and says, go buy a new dress, go buy a new purse, go buy a new, I mean, she's happy. When the fish are biting Dr. Pitts, I mean, you're real happy, amen. And when everything is going right, we're happy. But here's the thing. Happiness is based on happenings. But what happens when things don't happen the way that we want them to happen? We lose our happiness. Well, can I say this? If you're saved, amen, and you rejoice in the person of your salvation, listen, you rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. It don't matter what happens. Why? Because he's eternal. And your salvation is eternal, amen. Listen, Christian joy can be found in the, I'm concerned that now in 2020, that there's a lot of Christians that they're mistaking joy for happiness and they're getting all bitter and all bent out of shape because of this election. You know what? I told our church a couple weeks ago, I told them on a Sunday night, I said the Sunday following the election, if it don't go the way we want it to go, you know what we're going to do? We're going to come into God's house on Wednesday and we're going to shout it out and we're going to sing and we're going to pray and we're going to preach and we're going to fellowship and we're going to have a good time. You say, why is that, preacher? How are you going to shout it out? How are you going to sing? How are you going to rejoice and have a good time if Biden gets in office? I'll tell you why. Because Biden's not the answer. Trump's not the answer, amen. The White House isn't the answer. Listen, hey, I'm rejoicing in my salvation, and I'm rejoicing in my Savior. Why? Because they're eternal. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm earnestly praying that he don't get in. But if he does, God's still on the throne. He still knows what he's doing, amen. There's still lost souls that need to be saved. Thirdly, let me hurry. Christian joy is not only found in our salvation and our Savior, but also I thank God that I can find joy in my security. Go with me to the book of Romans, would you? The book of Romans in chapter number 8. I'm going to share a personal, well, it's not a personal testimony. I'm going to share a testimony with you about one of the faithful men in our church, but I won't say his name. But I'm going to use him as an illustration because he illustrates this truth so very well with his testimony. In Romans chapter number 8, I want you to find with me familiar passage, verse number 38. We're going to read verse 38 and verse 39. Verse number 38, Paul says, "For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I submit to you this, listen, Christian joy can be found in our security. I'm glad that I'm secure in the hand of Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I'm secure, listen, in the hand of my Heavenly Father. And I'm glad, according to the authority of God's Word, listen, Paul said, "I'm persuaded that none of these things, listen, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I'm so thankful that on March 16th, right here in this place, there was a time in my life, about 8:30, on a Sunday night, where I humbled my head and my heart before God and I confessed to him that I was a lost sinner on my way to hell, but I needed a Savior, and I knew that he was the Savior of the world, and if he would save me, I'd receive him. You know what he did for me that night? He did exactly what he said he would do. He saved me, amen. The preacher was preaching out of Romans 10 and verse 13 about the urgency of the call. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It was right down here. Linda, it it was your daddy that knelt with me, opened his Bible up and put it in front of me and said, Chad, I don't need to tell you what to do. Just read that right there. You know what you need to do. You know what I did? I took God at his word. I just called upon his name. And you know what he did? He saved me. He didn't just save me for that night. He didn't just save me for that year. He didn't just save me till I got done with that course in my life. But listen, he gave me everlasting life. He gave me, according to the scriptures, eternal life. Amen. And I'm glad that Paul reports for us under the inspiration of God that, listen, there's nothing that can separate me from the love of God. Amen. Nothing. You see, listen, I take great joy in the fact that I'm secure in Christ. I never got to worry about going to hell ever again. Miss Heather, I remember that morning, amen. I remember that morning I was under conviction and I was lost and I just felt like God was hanging me out over hell. And I felt like if I died, I knew that I was going to go straight to hell, amen, because I was lost. But I bargained with God like a lot of people do. Don't do it. I said, God, if you'll just let me get back here tonight, I'll get saved tonight. I get saved tonight. I went back after bus route that day, and I sat in my recliner, and I sat there, and I couldn't take a nap. Tammy said, you're going to eat? I said, I can't eat. She said, what is wrong with you? And I said, I don't want to talk about it. And I tell you what, I was looking forward to getting back in church that night. But you know what? Service time came, preaching came, invitation came and went, and I didn't do a thing. But my preacher didn't close the invitation. He said, I can't quit just yet. He said, I just feel like the Spirit of God don't want us to quit. Like there needs to be another song, another verse. There's somebody lost who needs to get saved. And right then the Holy Ghost of God said, that's you. I'll give you another opportunity. Man, I'm so glad I just took God at his word. I'm so glad I got up and I ran down that aisle and I got saved. Now listen, I've made a lot of mistakes. I ain't been the husband I ought to be. I ain't been the father I ought to be. I ain't been the preacher I ought to be. I ain't been the child of God that I always ought to be. But you know what? I take great joy in the fact that, listen, I'm secure in Christ. I'm secure, amen. Told you about the friend, about the man in our church. Grew up in church. His whole life, mom took him to church. Got married, took his family to church, but he went to one of them churches where, you know, you were saved until you sinned again. You better hope that nothing happened between Sunday morning and Sunday night. You know, you said something bad to your wife and didn't get it right with God, because if you died in a car accident before Sunday night, you were going to hell. And that man lived 57 years like that. And he got saved. And he went through our soul winning program at church. And he learned how to be a soul winner. And he stood up before all of our soul winners one Saturday morning. He said, can I just tell y'all something? We've got the best news that anybody has. So we've got the truth that Jesus gives eternal life. And he shared his testimony. He said, for 50 some years of my life, I lived. I was afraid to go to work. I was afraid to drive home from work. I was afraid to go to the grocery store. I was afraid, listen, I was afraid that if I died, he'd give his testimony. He'd say, I'd constantly be asking myself, have I sinned? Is there something that I hadn't confessed? He said, because I just had no joy. But he said, boy, that Sunday or that Saturday evening that the preacher came over and he opened the Bible up and he said that he had all kind of questions. And the preacher just opened the Bible and he said, here, read this verse. And he read it. He said, yeah, but what about what this preacher told me? He said, well, I'm not telling you nothing. I'm just showing you the Bible verse after verse after verse after verse after verse. He said, I got saved. And he said, you know what? I'm glad I didn't just get saved, but I got eternal life. I got saved for all eternity. Amen. Friend, if you're saved tonight, rejoice in your salvation. Rejoice in your Savior. Rejoice in your security. Let me give you another one. A Christian can find joy, listen, in the sanctuary. In the sanctuary. Take your Bibles and turn with me quickly over to the book of Psalms. Psalm number 42, if you will. Psalm number 42. I'm going to hurry. All right, if I get it before you, I'm just going to take off reading. And I want you to read what follow along with me what the psalmist says. Psalm number 42, and I'm going to begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, So panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Verse 3 says, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Here the psalmist is talking about living, listen, a life of burdens, a life of sorrows, a life of troubles, a life of tears. And here he's communing his tears, say in verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night. Day and night, that's I'm in tears. Why they shall continually say unto me, where is thy God? As though God weren't there. You ever go through the week and feel like that? Feel like you're alone, feel like nobody knows, nobody cares, you feel like God is distant, you pray, but it feels like the answer's not coming, it feels like your prayer's not going through the drywall in the ceiling, and I mean, you just feel empty, you feel full of troubles, and you feel full of cares, and you have burdens weighting you down, but look at verse number 4. The psalmist says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, and the voice of joy and praise with the multitude that kept that holy day. Friend, can I say this? The house of God, the house of God ought to be a sanctuary where the child of God can come away from the cares of life, come away from the things that are weighing you. That's why Wednesday night's so important in the middle of the week, amen. You've been weighed down with work and weighed down with school and weighed down with the problems of life. Wednesday's a time to come, listen, hey, come into the house of God and get rejuvenated and get that joy back. Fellowship with the saints of God. But look what the psalmist says. He said, for I had gone with the multitude. Can I say this? Can I call a timeout real quick? Friend, be careful, be careful, be careful. One of the dangers of this modern age is this, technology. Well, I'm kind of tired, kind of worn, preacher. I think I'll just stay home and I'll watch the service. Can I say this? You don't get through that thing what you get sitting in those things. Say amen right there. That's why I'm so against these governors giving these unbiblical and unconstitutional mandates and saying, well, they tried telling us that in Ware County and Brantley County, saying, well, you can assemble over the internet. Will you try that and let me know how it works out? You can't do it. Assembling means to come together. You can't come together over live stream and over the radio. Thank God for that, for people that can't come. But Christian friend, can I say this? If you can be in the house of God, be in the house of God. If you can be with the multitude, get with the multitude, because the psalmist says, I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise. Can I say this? When Brother Burt was leading the singing, amen. Hey, victory in Jesus, amen. I tell you what, Christian, you should have had a smile on your face. You should have been singing with joy in your heart. You say, why? Because you've got victory that the world don't have, amen. And you get to come to a sanctuary with the multitude and fellowship together and sing about that victory together, amen. Amen. Christian joy ought to be found down at the sanctuary. By the way, I'm going to have to call another time out real quick. You're almost shooting yourself in the foot if you come to the sanctuary . Bless me if you can . It's him again . You know that usher never smiles when he puts that plate in front of me. He just acts like he expects me to give something every time. And did y'all hear Miss Johnson missed a note on the piano? I heard it. I heard it. I can't read music. I can't even spell music, but she missed a note. In that song, we sang that song 6 weeks ago, last time I was here. In the same order. And why, where's Brother Bird at? Why in the world can't we sing verse 3? And you wonder, preacher, why I don't come to church. We laugh and we chuckle and we smile, but you know that's the flesh. You ain't going to come to the house of God and get joy when you come with that kind of sour spirit. But man, come looking to get filled up. Come looking to fellowship. Man, come looking. Man, I enjoy hearing the choir. I enjoy hearing. I didn't know who was going to sing. But man, that was a blessing. Lyndall, I never even knew you could play the piano. What a blessing. I didn't even know that I liked him. I'm joking. But you see, you're not going to find joy at the sanctuary if you come just to endure it. Well, I did my duty. I came and I went. Can I say this? When we come to the house of God, we ought to be coming to get in, not to get out. I mean, come get in the fellowship. Come get in the hymn book. Come get in the Bible. Come get in the altar. Come, listen, come get all that God has for you. Amen. I promise you, come looking to get a blessing, you'll leave with one. Amen. Number five, and I must hurry, Christian joy is found in the Scriptures. Go back with me. Go back with me, if you would, to the book of Nehemiah. Book of Nehemiah. I don't have time. I'm just going to mention this. But in Nehemiah chapter number 8, they're excited about the Scriptures. I mean, they found the book. The wall's been rebuilt. The congregation is together. They all stand together, and they're excited about the book. The Bible says in verse, I was going to read a lot more, but look at verse 4. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood all the men. Come down to verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen and amen. By the way, you may find a little more joy at the house if you interact in the service a little more. Amen. Say amen right there. They said amen with lifting up their hands. Oh, that preacher's getting carried away, getting charismatic. I mean, they sang that special, and I mean, look at him raising his hands. Well, it's Bible. It's Bible. Amen. I'm not letting the charismatic crowd steal, listen, what God's given me. Say amen. Amen. They're excited to come to the house of God, and they worship the Lord with their faces to the ground. They didn't come to church to say, look at me. You know what? They were humbling themselves. We're unworthy to be in God's house. I was telling my family tonight at supper, listen, I deserve to be in jail. I deserve to be in hell. But I get to be in God's house on a Wednesday night. Verse 8, come down there with me. Well, actually, come to verse 7, latter part. The Bible says in the Levites, the end of verse 7, the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and cause them to understand the reading. The congregation was able to understand the reading of God's word. Verse number 8 says, I'm sorry, verse 9, then Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest and the scribe and the Levites, taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the Lord. Can I say this? Man, we ought to be finding joy in the Scriptures. We ought to find joy when the Bible is taught in Sunday school. We ought to find joy when the Bible is preached Sunday morning and Sunday night. We ought to find joy when the Word of God is opened on Wednesday evening. We ought to find joy, listen, when the Bible is opened on soul winning on Wednesdays or Thursdays or Saturdays. We ought to find joy, listen, in the Word of God. I'm just going to give these last two to you. I'm not going to preach. I'm going to give them to you, and I'm going to quit. There's joy in serving Jesus. Joy in serving Jesus. Can you turn here with me? I just want to read this right quick. Acts chapter 20. Everybody all right? Amen. Acts chapter number 20. Look here with me real quick. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 17.
And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and many tears and temptations which befell me at the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, and have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Do you see that? Paul said, this one thing I know, I know that bonds and afflictions are waiting on me. But look at verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. There's joy. Hey, when you get to go and invite people to the fall program on Thursday night or on Saturday morning, you ought to go with joy. Man, I get to do this for Jesus. It's a shame when more Christians will go out and try to get people to vote for a president than they will go out and try to tell people that Jesus saves. Amen. Say amen right there. I'm all for voting. We ought to get everybody we can to vote, but shame on us if we're more concerned about getting people signed up to put somebody in the White House than we are getting somebody signed up to go to heaven. Amen. There's joy in serving Jesus. And then lastly, there's joy found in our surety. I think about one of my favorite passages, scriptures, John 14. John 14, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Can I remind you that everything we face in this life is temporal? Our trials are temporary. Our burdens are temporary. The loss that we may suffer is temporary. But friend, we ought to take great joy in our surety, that we're assured of heaven. If you're saved tonight, listen, you have God's guarantee on it. He said, if I go, I will come again. It's time we get more excited about Jesus coming for us than we are about who's going to go in that White House. Now, I believe with all my heart that it's going to make a difference who gets in and who doesn't. But at the end of the day, this isn't home. Heaven's home. But preacher, I have a broken heart. Preacher, I've lost a loved one. Can I ask you, were they saved? Well, yeah, but I'm broken. Yeah, but I'm burdened. Yeah, but the Bible says you're going to see him again. There's going to be a glad reunion day. And it's not just going to be a one day a year thing, but I mean, it's going to be for all eternity. But more than that, we're going to see the one that hung on the cross and bore our sins in his own body on that tree. And we're going to be able to spend eternity with the Lord. And I take great joy in that surety. But maybe you're here tonight and you say, but preacher, my problem is I don't know him like you know him. You may be here tonight and you say, preacher, I've never had an experience like you've had. I've never had somebody take a Bible and show me how to be saved. Then why don't you come tonight and let somebody show you? Why don't you let somebody tell you how to be saved? But Christian, listen, if you're here tonight, why don't you determine tonight, I'm going to start coming to church with joy in my heart. I'm going to come to church and I'm going to start encouraging my preacher. I'm going to start encouraging the people that sit around me. I'm going to start encouraging the people singing the choir. I'm going to say amen every now and then. I'm going to smile at them. I mean, when the pianist plays, I mean, I'm just going to enjoy it. I'm going to soak it up, amen. Hey, when the congregation is singing, amen, I'm going to join in. I may not be able to carry a tune in a bucket, but I'm going to sing with all I've got, amen. I'm going to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. Because he's put a new song in my heart. He's given me something worth singing about. Christian, why don't you decide, listen, I'm going to get back to living a life full of joy. Would you bow your head with me? Father, I ask you to take now the message, Lord, and apply it to our hearts and help us to do what you'd bid us to do. I pray that you'd bless the remainder of this service as preacher comes to take it, dear God. Pray that your will be done. I pray that there'd be somebody here tonight lost without Christ this evening. They'd come, call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand, please. We're going to sing a verse of song. We're going to give you an opportunity to respond to what God's spoken to you in your heart tonight. Come to the altar for prayer. Christian, if you've lost your joy, come ask God to restore that joy. Tell him you're going to start thinking on him more than the problems that you have. And if you're here tonight, you've never been saved, this is a good time to come and let somebody show you from the Bible how to be saved. Whatever God's asking you to do right now. Maybe you're saved and you need to come join the church. Or follow the Lord in baptism. Whatever God's asked you to do, you come as we sing.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow.
You can still come, whatever God's asked you to do. Let's bow our heads a moment. Father, we thank you for the message. Lord, help us to do a good inventory on our inside tonight. And if we've let the world or the sickness or the trouble steal our joy, help us to check up. If it's missing, Father, it's our fault, not yours. You haven't changed. The promises are still in the book. We're still just as saved as if we'd never had a problem. Heaven's still just as real. Father, we thank you for that. That all that your preacher preached tonight, if we'd concentrate on it, it would increase our joy. Give us a victory. Give us a peace that passes understanding. The world can't understand where our peace comes from, but not from circumstances. As the preacher preached, they're seasonal. They're going to pass. But the victory in Christ is forever. Thank you for the message tonight. In Christ's name. Amen. We'll let you be seated a moment and share with you here. All right. We have Brother Ballard coming, and he's coming to move membership with us. Sister Ballard went on to heaven here just recently. But Brother Ballard's come to join with us tonight. My statement, and we've glad he come and have a motion to receive him in the membership, show of hands, and so cared. We'll give you a chance here in just a moment to come shake hands with him. Brother Bert, where you at? Here behind me. I called him up. I don't know where he's at. Choir practice. Choir practice Sunday's coming. All right, let's stand. You can come by and shake hands with Brother Ballard. You can get on up to the choir. And if you're visiting with us, we're glad to have you tonight. God bless you. And come again. You're dismissed.